This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The city of Detroit is launching a crackdown on urban blight. This week, a new city department plans to pursue landlords who do not keep their buildings up to code. It's an effort to clean up a city that thousands of people abandoned long ago for the suburbs. When they moved, they left behind thousands of buildings. And even though many were torn down, 15,000 vacant structures remain. NPR's Cheryl Corley reports on what the city is trying to do about them.
If you want to learn about abandoned buildings in Detroit, Clinton Snyder is a man to meet. He spends the days cruising Detroit neighborhoods in his old 89 silver Range Rover looking for dilapidated vacant structures. It doesn't take long.
Welcome to 15 French Road.
Look at this old fieldstone foundation. Want to go in?
Snyder pulls out a small digital camera as he enters the tiny white house across from Detroit City Airport. His feet crunch broken glass on the floor as he walks from room to room.
Hello? Hello?
The house is a wreck. The front door is missing, windows are busted, the carpet in the living room is soaked. But Snyder, who is an artist, says there are relics among the decay he documents. He'll use his photos as models for the exhibits and the large urban landscapes he paints of the city's most distraught areas.
The main kitchen has got this yellow tile, these little blue cups. You know, it's just, it looks like somebody was just here. But there's no doors on any of the cabinets. The ceiling paint is peeling off. It looks like a 20s. Kind of farmhouse style.
You can find some middle class and wealthy neighborhoods in Detroit where there are no abandoned structures, but they are dwarfed by the pervasive blight of neighborhoods like this one. Burnt and beat up houses, often havens for drug dealing and other crimes, fill the blocks like a mouthful of gaps and withered teeth. Grassy expanses of open fields where houses have been torn down are magnets for old tires and other junk. And it's not just houses. During a drive, Snyder points to one of Detroit's more famous ruins. Half of the five-story Studebaker building is being used as a farmer's market. The other half is severely damaged.
You can see the sky through the upper windows because they've suffered many fires, and the roof is all but fallen in. In fact, in some floors, if you continue to look, you can see material from the roof coming down to the fifth, fourth, and into the third floors that are rotting so bad. Here's an example right here. So it's moving its way all the way down.
Over near the city airport, there's a house that doesn't look much better. A burnt-out hulk with no roof and missing stairs sits next to an occupied, well-kept home. While we stand looking at the houses, a man walks up. He says it's been depressing to see what's happened to what was once a nice neighborhood.
I live in the next block. I've been in that house for 28 years. I moved in that house, and there was a house in every spot around here. And all of a sudden, as the years go by, it just started deteriorating. And we got possums, coons, pheasants. Only thing I haven't seen is a deer.
Ivory Jackson is one of the many people in the city who is trying to do something about Detroit's vacant properties. He and his family started buying up homes when he noticed many were becoming abandoned. He's built a makeshift corner playground for neighborhood kids. According to city records, there are 15,000 dangerous properties in Detroit. That does not include thousands more of abandoned homes that are considered structurally sound. When he first took office in 2002, Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick announced the city would tear down 5,000 dangerous buildings in 8 months. But the actual numbers are significantly lower. The city has failed to tear down even 1,000 buildings in each of the last 3 years. The head of Detroit's building department, Amru Mia, says demolitions take time, at least 6 months, for the city to do all the paperwork and conduct inspections.
Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants the house near them to be demolished. The other thing that frustrates people, and to be frank with you, this one I understand, is that I might drive down the street and I might find two houses on one block, and I might demolish this one house, and this one I'm not demolishing. Very frustrating for people. But it goes back to the due process. Maybe what we should do is put a notice on the door that we're going to demolish it in 30 days. Everybody would love that until it affected them.
Mia's department gets about 6,000 complaints a year from frustrated residents. But there is some work going on.
Hey, Johnny, can you get him out a little bit more? Debris. The demolition crew has just started work at this two-story building at Mack and Baldwin. It used to be a commercial structure. Sandra Reed is the CEO of AAA Demolition.
Oh, yeah, it's plenty of business. You know, I mean, we all over. The city of Detroit is in the midst of cleaning them up, but a lot of them been here for a very long time, maybe 2 or 3 years, and they're getting around to tearing them down now. I guess they're trying to beautify the city again. You know, we got the Super Bowl coming here, and so we got to get all this stuff down.
A big bulldozer rips into the building. Stones, bricks, and wood crumple into huge piles. Next to the building, there is a vacant field, 3 more buildings in bad shape, and another stretch of vacant land.
But it looks as though somebody still lives in that last building upstairs. I doubt they preserved one building out of the whole block.
But creating this barren landscape in the middle of a major city is not the right approach, says Marianne Mahaffey, the president of Detroit City Council. The council approves the city's demolitions and allocates the federal funds that are used for teardowns. But Mahaffey says Detroit is plagued by slum landlords, and there is a desperate need for low-income housing. She says the city administration should focus more on saving homes
and getting them into hands of people who will actually live there and pay the taxes. It would reduce the numbers of families in our shelters. And nobody in this country has spent the amount of money over the years that we have on demolition instead of building and repairing.
The city says it is taking steps to make sure preservable housing stock doesn't fall into disrepair. Even so, most of the new construction in Metro Detroit is taking place in suburbs far outside the city. George Galster is a professor of urban affairs at Wayne State University. He says an oversupply of housing in the suburbs will make it difficult for the Motor City to overcome its blight.
Detroit somehow has to figure out a way to either, number one, convince the rest of the region to not keep producing so much housing, or to convince those who are building this excess supply of housing to at least build it in the city of Detroit.
There are some bright spots. In the past few years, nonprofit groups have helped spur a mini building boom that's filling in the housing gaps in some neighborhoods. And in one area, on Detroit's Near East Side, construction crews are building brand new homes for a subdivision called Jefferson Village. There's a retail strip and a new grocery store nearby. 31-year-old Darson Mitchell said it was just the sort of place he and his wife were looking for when they decided to buy their first home.
We were going to move to the suburbs, but once we found that this builder was building in Detroit, we just jumped on it. Not to mention the tax breaks associated with moving over here. It just made it irresistible. Irresistible opportunity. You know, right by the riverfront. I couldn't even ask for more. This is our first home. We're ecstatic. We're ecstatic about living in the city.
And that's what Detroit is looking for. Young people excited about living here. There's hope that Jefferson Village and other ventures will help dispel any notion that the city is simply a junkyard for dangerous abandoned buildings. Cheryl Corley, NPR News.
You can hear more viewpoints, pro and con, about Detroit's program by going to our website, npr.org.